वासुदेवाया
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम, दिस इज द फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 26 वर्सेस 39 and 40, which will end the fifth canto. Everybody's probably happy now. Okay, so I think this one's on the board, 39. Shutva. Shutva. Stulam. Tata Sukshmam Rupam Bhagavato Yati Stule Nirjitam Atmanam Sanai Sukshmam Diya Nayed Iti Shrutva Stulam Tata Sukshmam Rupam Bhagavato Yati Stule Nirjitam Atmanam Sanai Sukshmam Diya Nayed Iti Shrutva Stulam Tata Sukshmam Rupam Bhagavato Yati Stule Nirjitam Atmanam Sanai Sukshmam Dhyanayeriti Shrutva Stulam Tata Sukshmam Rupam Bhagavato Yati Stule Nirjitam Atmanam Shanai Sukshmam Diya Nayeriti. Bhagavato yati Jnanam Matajis. Shrutva, after hearing of, from the disciplic succession, stulam, gross, tata, as well as, sukshmam, subtle, rupam, form. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yati, a sannyasi or devotee. Stule, the gross form. Nirjitam, conquered. Atmanam, the mind. Sanai, gradually. Sukshmam, the subtle spiritual form of the Lord. Diya, by intelligence. Nayet, one should lead it to. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation and is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called a yati, or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1. After hearing of both forms, so he should think of Krishna after hearing of both forms. Thus, one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of the devotees. Thus, his life becomes successful. Purport. It is said, Mahat Sevam Param Ahur Vimukte, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, he should associate with Mahatmas, or liberated devotees, because in such association, there is a full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. On the path of bondage, one eternally undergoes the repetition of birth and death. One who desires liberation from such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees and also explain it to propagate Krishna consciousness. So text number 40. Budvipa varsha sarir adrinaba samudra patala dinaraka bhagana loka samsta gita maya tava nipad bhutamishvarasya stulam vapu sakala jiva nakaya dama. My dear king, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems, and their lands, varshas, rivers, and mountains. I have also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virat Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which all living entities repose. Thus I've explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Thus ends the Srimad Bhagavata purports of the fifth canto, 26th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Hellish Planets. Jai. So there's a supplementary note written by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada in his Gaudiya Bhasha. And I guess I could read that now. The translation is as follows. Learned scholars who have full knowledge of all the Vedic scriptures agree that the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are innumerable. These incarnations are classified into two divisions called Prabhava and Vaibhava. According to the scriptures, Prabhava incarnations are also classified in two divisions, those which are called eternal and those which are not vividly described. In the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in chapters 3 through 6, there is a description of Rishabhdev, but there is not an expanded description of his spiritual activities. Therefore, he is considered to belong to the second group of Prabhava incarnations. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, verse 13, it is said, Astame meru devyam tu, naber jata uru krama, darshayan vartma diranam, savasrama namaskritam. Lord Vishnu appeared in the eighth incarnation as the son of Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnidra, and his wife Meru Devi. He showed the path of perfection, the Paramahamsa stage of life, which is worshipped by all the followers of Vanashram Dharma. Rishabhdev is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his body is spiritual, Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. Therefore, one might ask how it might be possible that he passed stool and urine. The Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya, Baladev Vidyabhusana, has replied to this question in his book known as Siddhanta Ratna, first portion, text 65 to 68. Imperfect man call attention to Rishabhdev's passing stool and urine as a subject matter for the study of non-devotees who do not understand the spiritual position of a transcendental body. In this fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 5.6.11, the illusioned and bewildered state of the materialists of this age is fully described. Elsewhere in 5th canto, 5.5.19, Rishabhdev stated, Idam sariram mama durvibhavyam. This body of mind is inconceivable for materialists. This is also confirmed by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 9.11. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanum ashritam parambhavam ajananto mama bhutva maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. The human form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is extremely difficult to understand. And, in fact, for a common man, it is inconceivable. Therefore, Rishabhdev has directly explained that his own body belongs to the spiritual platform. This being so, Rishabhdev did not actually pass stool and urine. Even though he superficially seemed to pass stool and urine, that was also transcendental and cannot be imitated by any common man. It is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that the stool and urine of Rishabhdev were full of transcendental fragrance. One may imitate Rishabhdev, but he cannot imitate him passing stool that is fragrant. The activities of Rishabhdev, therefore, do not support the claims of a certain class of man known as Arhat, who sometimes advertise that they are followers of Rishabhdev. How can they be followers of Rishabhdev while they act against the Vedic principles? Sukadeva Goswami has related that after hearing about the characteristics of Lord Rishabhdev, the king of Konka, Venka, and Kutaka, initiated a system of religious principles known as Arhat. These principles were not in accord with Vedic principles, and therefore they are called Pasanda Dharma. The members of the Arhat community considered Rishabhdev's activities material. However, Rishabhdev is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is on the transcendental platform and no one can compare to him. Rishabhdev personally exhibited the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.8. Davanalas tadvanam alelihana sahatena dadhaha. At the conclusion of Rishabhdev's pastimes, an entire forest of the Lord's body and the Lord's body were burned to ashes in a great forest fire. In the same way, Rishabhdev burned people's ignorance to ashes. He exhibited the characteristics of a Paramahamsa in his instructions to his sons. The principles of the Arhat community, however, do not correspond to the teachings of Rishabhdev. Sri Baladev Vijayabhushana remarks that in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another description of Rishabhdev, but that Rishabhdev is different from the one described in this canto. End of the 5th canto. Jai. I think this was called the creative impetus, the 5th canto. Now we go into the prescribed duties of mankind in the 6th canto. So Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksus Unmilitamena Tasmaya Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadam Ayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Pancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Grivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. So the verses again. One who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation, and is not attracted to the path of conditional life is called yati, or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. After hearing of both forms, thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. My dear King, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems, and their lands, varshas, rivers, and mountains. I have also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary systems, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virat Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord, on which all living entities repose. Thus I have explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Jai. So this is a very nice couple verses that end the 5th canto, which reminds us of the importance of hearing and the importance of realizing and seeing Krishna everywhere. And by going through this whole canto, the creative impetus, we see how Krishna has expanded his form where all of us can repose and where we can supposedly try to fulfill all our material desires, but at the same time, the opportunity to try to get out of here, to go back home, back to the spiritual world. So there's two paths that were mentioned, you know, the path that the devotees follow and then the path of the materialists. And the human body is like a junction. One may either take the path of liberation or the path leading to a hellish condition. So these paths are all described very vividly so far in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And now we're going to go into more details on our duties and different cantos or different pastimes of Krishna in relationship with his devotees and a lot of lessons that we can learn. So we're very fortunate to be able to hear, because by hearing is the way we actually can wake up. This material world is, in this material situation, is considered to be like a dream. We're dreaming in this so-called material world, thinking that we're enjoyers, you know, that we're here for some kind of control. But actually, we're not. It's actually a dream. But it's possible to awaken from this dream. And the reason why we want to awaken from this dream, because this is not reality in a dream. Sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's pleasurable, but then it ends. And then another one starts, and then another one. And but during the dream also, to the degree that we identify with it, we suffer. And so we want to become free from this illusory happiness, this illusory suffering, and awaken to our real constitution. which is, as described here, a relationship with Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is narrated, and it's like we're sleeping and we're dreaming, but we're being attacked by somebody. Prabhupada uses that analogy, we're sleeping and some man is coming to cut our head off. And then someone says, wake up, wake up, wake up. So then we hear and we wake up and we could that way be saved. So in the same way, we're being cut to pieces by this material energy. And as vividly described in these hellish planets that we just finished in this chapter, that you literally are cut to pieces and in so many different ways according to your different activities. So it's interesting, there's a my son is taking like a business course, and they talk about these different activities and different ways of performing business. And then there's one section where it talks about how to become more productive. You know, how one should wake up and become more productive. So I was thinking, this is actually what we teach. We're teaching people how to wake up and how to be productive. But actually, productive is what they teach. They don't really tell you what the real, you know, how to be really productive. And as we've had our awareness expanded to see what can you actually attain, what can you really produce in this material world, you can go according to the modes of nature. If you're in the mode of goodness, you could go to the heavenly planets. You know, you could experience some sense gratification. But after that's over, then you come down again. It's like a vacation. And if you're in the mode of passion, then that's the productive mode, where you go to the earth planet and you begin to produce things. But what are we producing? Prabhupada says they're producing factories. They're producing all these unnecessary items. Ugra karma. Vicious activities. We don't really need these industrial enterprises, he said. Can they produce grains and milk and, you know, vegetables, fruits? You see? No, they don't. But they just create a miserable condition for the living entity. Artificial amenities. So if one develops the mode of passion, then there's a place in this universe. So we're looking, we're expanding our view, we're seeing what we can actually attain. You know, if you go to ignorant activities, then you go to hellish planets and you suffer. Or you go into the animal kingdom, where your consciousness and your awareness is completely blocked. The human form is so special that this powerful ability to become aware of one's position is very unique. The tree can't become aware of its position. The animal, we can't sit here and talk about self-realization. You know, invite the pets that we have and invite them and say, okay, today we're going to have Srimad Bhagavatam class and we want you to become aware you're not that cat body, you're not that dog body, you're not this, you know. We can't really do that. There's no awareness. They're packed in so heavy in this material energy that they can't understand. So we're so fortunate that we have to take advantage of this opportunity to wake up and understand what our real position is as eternal servants of Krishna. And it's described here in this particular verses how that we should meditate on the Supreme Lord in His gigantic form. So this is like the mind becoming aware of where you are, what your position is. And seeing that, once you begin to see how Krishna's expansive form and what it is, what the purpose of it is, see with the vision of eternity, the vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then you wonder, who's the source of all this? And then we begin to see that it's actually Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And He's a Supreme Person. So we meditate like that. And that's how we conquer the mind, by engaging it in meditating and the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is by our service. That's our activity. That's the real productive nature of the living entity, is to serve Krishna, work for Krishna, produce things for Krishna. You could garden for Krishna, and you could do so many different things for Krishna. So this is the perfection. And this all starts, the beginning of self-realization is by hearing. We have to actually hear. This is what happens when we go to school, education, we hear from an authority, from the teacher. So these authorities, these mahatmas as described here, these we have to associate with mahatmas, pure devotees, because they can reveal the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a prayer that the devotees say on the altar before they worship the deity, how they become, they set a state of mind. They meditate on Krishna, and they meditate how the great devotees, they can actually reveal Krishna to you because they have seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like the sun's rays reveal everything. So in the same way, the pure devotees, the Mahatmas, they actually reveal this to us. So this should be our priority. You know, if we get so involved in our, you know, productive nature, trying to earn things and become satisfied here, then we will become bewildered. You know, it's like the analogy of the deer. It's like we become so attracted to the music of the hunter, right? It becomes enamored. That's what it's like, the material objects here, the sounds, the sights, so many things are very attractive to these songs and sounds. That we what happens? We become ensnared. And then we're captured and killed. So one should hear the songs of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the song of the Bhagavad Gita. These are the songs sung by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is how we actually control our mind, our words, you know, by this superior intelligence. The superior intelligence is given to us through these Vedic literatures that we hear, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So if we don't control our mind and words, the analogy that's used is like a clay pot that's not properly baked. And what happens when you put water in it? It gradually seeps out. So this is what happens to us. If we, you know, are gaining knowledge, but we don't completely control our words and our minds by this intelligence, by constantly reading, constantly associating with Srimad Bhagavatam, then what happens is that all this knowledge just seeps out. It's lost. So we have to bake it in. We have to fix it in. You know, you have to just burn it into our consciousness so that there's no way that it could be lost. It's like a CD. You burn an image into it. You burn some information in it, and it's burned. You know, you can't take it out. It's finished. It's like you can't use it for anything else. So we have to get the mind absorbed in Krishna consciousness so that it can't be used for anything else. But we have to wake up to this. And Prabhupada says here real nicely, he says, the modern materialistic society is detached from its relation with the Supreme Lord, and all its plans which are being made by atheistic leaders are sure to be baffled at every step, yet they do not wake up to this. So this is the materialistic society. They've lost their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And no matter what they do to produce something, it's useless. It's like Prabhupada used the analogy, just like there's the tree which represents the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then we're all like the different branches and twigs and things like that. And if a branch breaks off, then what good is it without its connection with the tree? If you water the root, do those branches that are disconnected get watered? No. So in this age, that's what it's like when you're in a dreaming state, you're disconnected. So in this age, it's recommended that the congregational chanting of the holy names is the prescribed method for waking up. And it's scientifically presented by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also Srimad Bhagavatam, who Lord Chaitanya was the propounder of, the preacher of Srimad Bhagavatam, it also is the same purpose for waking us up. So there's an emphatic call. This is a nice verse I found. Utishtata jagrata prapyavaram nibodanta Surasha dara nisita duratyaya durgampatas tat kavayo vadanti. Please wake up and try to understand the boon that you now have in this human form of life. The path of spiritualization is very difficult. It is sharp like a razor's edge. That is the opinion of learned transcendental scholars. So we talked about how important the ear is. and how important it is to hear these transcendental literatures from great personalities so that we can wake up from this dream and break this connection of this illusion. We could break it at any moment. Simply wake up, Prabhupada says, to Krishna consciousness. You say, oh, Krishna is my eternal master. I'm his servant. That's all. Just wake up like that. Oh, Krishna is my eternal master, and I'm his servant. Like that. So there's some devotees that were in the teachings of Queen Kunti. I think that's the name. Or it was one of those self-realization books where they're interviewing, they were actually acting like different scholars. And one disciple was talking about Carl Jung. And he said that Jung believed that because there are so many subconscious factors governing our personality, we must awaken to them. Unless we do so, we are more or less slaves to our subconscious life. The point of psychoanalysis is to reveal as many aspects of our subconscious life as possible and enable us to face them. And Prabhupada says, that is what we're teaching. We say that presently the soul is in a sleeping state, and we are telling the soul, please wake up, please wake up. You are not this body. You are not this body. It is possible to awaken the human being, but other living entities cannot be awakened. A tree, for instance, has consciousness, but he is so packed in matter that you cannot raise him to Krishna consciousness. A human being, on the other hand, has developed consciousness, which is manifest in different stages. Lower life forms are more or less in a dream state. So, those are nice. So Prabhupada also says how not only are we sleepy, it's like a lazy feeling, right? We're lazy in this age. Prabhupada describes how manda, bhagya, manda, sumanda, matayo, that we're very lazy for spiritual enlightenment. That, you know, we just take things for granted. You know, we don't really care so many things, just lazy and disturbed on this path. And we actually become like so-called happy, you know, and we think it's something that's great. Remember we talked about how hearing mundane songs and mundane colors, so many different things, how they attract us. That was interesting. There was this reading this canto, this chapter, reminded me of this song that I heard one time. I never did know what the actual lyrics are, but there's one, you remember it from the one where it's called the Highway to Hell. I'm sure people have heard that song. It's by AC/DC, I think. And it just shows you how the lazy living, like he describes here, you know, living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride, asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing I'd rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. I'm on a highway to hell. So it's very interesting how this is where they just want to dive there. No stop signs, no speed limit. Nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel going to spin it. Nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paid my dues. Playing on a rockin' band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Don't stop me. And I'm going down, all the way down. I'm on the highway to hell. Isn't it nice? It's like, they actually, not only do they have mundane songs glorifying material energy, but they're glorifying this highway to hell. It's crazy. So just compare the difference, you know, the songs of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Bhagavad Gita, describing what this highway to hell it really is. You may make a song about it, but you don't really know what you're talking about. If you actually knew and saw and read this chapter, you'd probably change your lyrics. You'd probably change your life. So that was the other path that we don't want to be on, the highways with no speed limit. So we have to be, you know, once you take up Krishna consciousness, just like the time of King Yudhisthira, the people were so satisfied, the citizens, that they weren't inclined to accept unnecessary productive enterprises for sense gratification, because they were satisfied with all the necessities of life. And actually, Prabhupada says, if you take to Krishna consciousness, you'll be completely satisfied. Everything will be provided for you. You know, nature, Krishna, you know, will provide everything. So there's no necessity for all these different industrial enterprises and ugra karma. And it's been shown by all these great personalities, great kings like Yudhisthira Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj. You know, they all gave us the actual, how it actually should be done. So, it's already 21 after, I'm sorry. Anyway, I'll just read this one nice song that's given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is a nice song. How we should ji jago, go to Chandrabole. So wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. Lord Gauranga calls. You have slept so long on the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world saying, oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you. But having forgotten this promise, you remain in great ignorance. I have descended to this world just to reclaim you. Other than myself, who else is your true friend? I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now beg for this Harinam Mahamantra and take it. Bhaktivinoda fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he indeed received that Mahamantra. Jai. Okay, well, thank you. Maybe there's some comments or questions, if anybody wants to prolong the class. Jai, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai, thank you.
Hello.
Oh, sure.
I want to see a doctor when I bring it to him.
Oh, it's nice.
Thank you.
This is a really good.